Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, it's my privilege to stand before you to share God's word on these special occasions. And we know that we all believe in the resurrection. Amen. It's not a theological message, it's a very simple message I have taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Please keep open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I titled this message as The Proofs and Hope of the Resurrection. The Proofs and the Hope of Resurrection. So there are two parts or two points. One is about the proof. The second is about the hope of the resurrection from the same chapter. If you take from chapter from 1 to 11, it speaks about the proof. So this is perhaps the greatest chapter in all the Bible on resurrection. You may be thinking of all the gospel mentions about it. True. But here in this chapter, Paul writes and highlights and elevates the summary, the theme of the resurrection. So resurrection is the very heart and soul of a Christian truth, as we believe in. It is the very cornerstone of everything we believe in. This morning, I want to speak to you, as I said, the hope and the proof of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ too. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, presents the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Time and again, we are hearing from this. Many people, they are still not having a full knowledge about the gospel. When we say, or somebody asks us, which church you belongs to? It is easy to tell, yes, we are the Bread of Life Fellowship. And what you believe in? By the belief of the people, there are many denominations and that many divisions in the church, among the churches. Why there are many divisions? That is based on their belief. When we say, when we are asked in the beginning, we said that, and even now, when we say it is a Bread of Life Fellowship in name, addition to that, for their understanding, we used to tell that this is the full gospel church. Hello. If you believe, amen to that. Amen. At least I can understand you are alive and you are awake. This church is the full gospel church. Amen. If it is a full gospel, we should know what is the gospel. Amen. Paul writes very clearly here. Moreover, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Is it not you and me? Hello? Is it not you and me? We stand on the gospel which Paul preached, and we heard and we believe in the gospel, the whole gospel. Amen? And what is the rest? What he says about it? So in this, in 4:3-4, he says, by the gospel you are saved. Are you saved by the gospel? If you hold firmly to the word, I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Verse 3, for what I have received, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. Verse 4, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. So the gospel is undeniable fact that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose again according to the scripture. So that is the full gospel. Jesus came to this world. He lived. He has suffered. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He alives. We believe in that. That's why we are all sitting here. Amen? Further, what Paul says in this scripture, first point here, I took it as verse 1 and 2. The testimony of transformed life. So here, as I said, I want to remind you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. Like Paul preached to this church, someone shared to us the gospel in the past. Why we are all here? Someone preached, we heard, we believe in this gospel. That's why, as I said in the beginning, we stand in the sense, not your physical stand, your spiritual stand. That means you believe everything what was preached. For us, the proof is the scripture. The scripture is we heard. The scripture is in your hand. More than that, the scripture should be in our hearts. That means that you stand on your word, the word of God. Amen? Amen? So the first great evidence of the resurrection, the evidence that Jesus is alive, is the experience of a transformed life. How do I know that Jesus Christ lives? Because he changed my life. How do I know that Jesus Christ is alive? Because I have seen him change your life, the evidence of salvation. All those who have received a transformation, can you shout hallelujah for that? Hallelujah. Actually, I thought of putting this question in the beginning itself. Why? What is the today, as we are celebrating the resurrection day of the Lord, what is the proof? Before I preach, I thought of asking this question. What is the proof for Jesus risen? I know very well, all of you can tell in one word, the open tomb is there as an evidence. That is physical. What is the next evidence or a proof for Jesus is risen? What? Huh? All of us could say, it is you. I am the proof for Jesus is risen. Can you say that? Don't you believe that? Is it not because Jesus is risen you are here? God has given you life? We are the first to prove the evidence in this world to know Jesus is risen. Every one of us can boldly say that, yes, I have received that Jesus. So again you go back. You have heard, you have believed, that is in you, and you stand on that faith means you will, you live with that faith. If you live, that is the proof Jesus risen. Jesus is alive. So that is your testimony. Our testimony, that's why we are all called to be a testimony to Christ Jesus. Amen? So what do we say? Our transformed life is the one of the proof for Jesus arisen from the tomb. Those who have a transformed life say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Secondly, the testimony of the word of God. Verse 3 to 4. 3 and 4. I read it from here. For I have delivered to you first of all which I also received. The Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again third day according to the scriptures. Everything is according to the scripture. Everything is written in the word of God, and we know the scripture. Even the Acts 1:3, what it says. Acts 1:3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You know the sequences, how many days, how many attempts he made it. More than 13 attempts on 40 days. And he proved to the people on this earth that he is alive. So we have not only the testimony of transformed lives, but we have the testimony of the word of God. The scriptures affirms both Old Testament and the New Testament, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? These words are in our hand. These words are in our hand. The scripture, what Jesus preached, the gospel, what Paul preached, we heard, and the same scripture is in our hand as a proof Jesus has raised. Jesus is alive. If anyone asks, what is the another proof? First proof, I am. I am transformed from my old sinful nature, and I am belongs to his kingdom. From the world, I am a person of his kingdom. Secondly, the word of God, the scripture by which he came to this world. By the same he preached in the world. The same thing even the gospel preaches, the people, the disciples preached as a gospel. And the same gospel what I heard, it is not only in me, I am the gospel, but the gospel also with me in my hand. The scripture is the second proof for Jesus is risen. Scriptures is the second proof as to prove Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Thank you. So I have to demand your amen. God is watching over us. Actually, it is a great, always he used to say, it's a privilege, it is a blessing. We should rejoice in your presence. This is a special service. We are not here on every Sunday. We are only on Fridays. But don't you feel that and excited that this at least once in a year on a resurrection day, we gather on Sunday?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Yes, we have to make that as a specialized day. Then only you can rejoice. Then only you can have that peace. Give the best unto the Lord means the speciality. When you thank him, God, it is another day God has given to gather together along with his children in his presence to thank him, to hear God's word again. Amen? We are refreshed by God's word. Thirdly, the testimony of the empty tomb, as all of us we know. That we know from John chapter 20, verse 28. All of you know what has happened. And early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. So the Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outturned. He stayed back. Peter reached to the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in his place, separate from the linen. That's what they found. You know the story, week after week, and even year after year, we are hearing about what has happened in the different forms and different people, how Jesus has appeared to them. On the special day, on the early morning, the Mary and Magdalene Mary, they went. So there are many messages we heard about them and about their testimony, about their obedience. Why God, how revealed to them what God has spoken. Even the last year and all, I mentioned about on the resurrection day, behold, it is open. What was open? The tomb was open. So in that, there are six things we know. What are the things so open? So in that sequence, when you see this, this is one of the evidence the Bible records. That is in all four Gospels. Yeah, the opened tomb is another testimony for the world to know. And all of us, as I said, that is not the first place. First, when anybody asks, you are the testimony. So if you say that the open tomb, no one can go and see and find whether it is true or not. The tomb is there or not. It is not possible for everyone to go physically to Jerusalem to looking for that tomb. That's why I said the first place, you and me are the testimony. You and me are the proof for the resurrection of our Lord. But here in the third place, the open tomb, of course, is the proof and as a history to the whole world to know Jesus Christ is no more there. He has risen. Amen? So the empty tomb became the third proof for the Lord's risen. Fourthly, the testimony of the eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 5 to 8. If you go through it, And that he had appeared, he was keep on writing, he has appeared to Cephas and then to 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, then he appeared, James, and to all the apostles. Verse 8, and the last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So that is why I say this first portion of the gospel is the full gospel. Why I say this? Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again. That is not complete. He appeared to different people in different days and ways, and Paul concludes that at last he appeared to me. There it covers. So, it is not only the knowledge about hearing the word, having the word in you and believing that Jesus Christ is born and he lived, he died, he rose. He appeared to everyone, different people. At last, he appeared to me. That means we should have the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen Jesus Christ in your life? Is Jesus appeared to you personally? Then it became a full gospel. We should have desire to ask God to appear to me. If you believe Jesus is alive, his life is true, Jesus is not the respecter of the person. When the gospel is true, since that time till today, it is true as Jesus is alive when you believe, as he revealed to the list is given here, to even to the started from the tomb, yes, to the Simon Peter and also the 500, and it's keep on going on. At the same time, even the 13 times he appeared to them at different days and different forms. He said, he concludes, at last he appeared to me. That should be our experience. Then only the gospel completes. That's what I believe it. So it is not believing and the resurrection alone. Let Jesus Christ appear to you and me. Then only gospel completes. So that is the eyewitnesses. Amen? In other words, the eyewitnesses were still living when Paul pens this letter. After that, he was seen by James and then all the apostles at last, he says that he was seen by Paul. He is the one who persecuted the church. Why he said that? At last he was telling about himself. And because he said that I persecuted the church. That's why I am the last. Anyhow. So there is a testimony of experience. The testimony of the scriptures. The testimony of empty tomb. The testimony of eyewitnesses, including the apostles Paul, all of this say that the fact of the resurrection and undisputable, and it is indeed one of the best attested fact of ancient history. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. That testimonial historic truth. So it is foolishness to say Jesus did not rise from the dead as the evidence or contrary to such claim. That's made Paul to write this. How can some say that there is no resurrection? There is started. Because these Corinthian church people, they believed before, and later on someone preached that there is no resurrection. And that's why he was led to make them to understand these are all the proofs. When all these things are there, How can you say, or someone say, there is no resurrection? But it is not for us, because we believe in our resurrection, and we are, that's why we are sitting here. Amen? The second part of it is the hope of resurrection. There is a life after the death. Amen? There is a life after the death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. But it is, there is no, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Verse 18, if Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. What does it mean? If there is no resurrection, if we just die and go out of existence, then death is its all. When we know with the proof Christ has been raised, and it is Christ has been raised, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise from the dead, that we know. Verse 14, in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 20 says, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So there is life after death that we believe. That is our hope. We hope in our life, our resurrected life. Amen? Secondly, the resurrection gives power to our preaching. The resurrection gives power to our preaching. What we are preaching. That's what Paul was writing. And if Christ has not been raised, verse 14 again, our preaching is useless. If he has not risen, our preaching is useless. In NLT says, yes, if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. So, if we are preaching about the Christ, that means Jesus has risen. Amen? So there is a, if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. There is no Savior. All of his claims are lies. Preaching, that's the covers that our preaching is useless. There is no message. Since Christ raised from the dead, there is a transformation power and a hope in our preaching. Use the word of God and speak to the people. There is power when you speak of the word of God. Amen? Amen. We are called to preach. Amen. All of us, that is the great commission was God has given. So what do we understand from here? Resurrection gives power to our preaching. Amen? Thirdly, resurrection validates our Christian faith. The same scripture. Verse 14, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If there is no resurrection, your faith is useless. Our faith is in vain. So the resurrection confirms and gives us the hope for our faith. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a confidence in which we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We can pray by faith, live by faith, proclaim by faith because of the resurrection. Somebody makes some proclamation today. I am blessed. I am healed. I am forgiven. I am raised. These are all by what? These are all by what? By? Because their faith. Where is their faith? Where is their faith? Hello? Where is their faith? Faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. they have faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They have faith in the scripture. Where is your faith? We also claim that. Are you blessed? Are you healed? Are you healed? Are you forgiven? Do you have joy? Are you rich? It is all you believe in. Amen? That is your faith. It is all not by us, not from the world. Our faith is in the Lord. It is all possible only by His grace. Fourthly, resurrection validates our witnesses. Jesus told us to take the gospel to the ends of the world. He made us witness of the cross. Matthew 28:19-20. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whosoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Everyone claims that. God is with us. We also wishes, we greet people. God has promised that He will be with us until the end of the age. He will be with us. We will be with us in all situations and circumstances. Very true. What is the first portion says that? Go into the world, preach the gospel. So, the resurrection validates our witnesses. We are commanded, the commission is for everyone, every Christian. We are expected to. So, Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again and again, we emphasize that. Why the Holy Spirit is given to us? Holy Spirit, we are all those who are accepted Jesus Christ. Yes. There are many things comes to my mind in this time, because the time is not allowing me to tell to you. But the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us, and He promised that you will have the power. Why is the power? Power is to witness. Power is to witness. Witness to the world. So we are all witnesses of Christ. We are all sitting here are the witnesses of the resurrection of our Lord. Hello. The same power which raised Jesus Christ from the tomb, the same power is within you. We believed and we confessed at the time of our baptism. Remember, the same power which raised Jesus from the tomb, the same power raises me from the bottom of the water to up. Is it not that so? Is it not that your confession? Confession to God, confession, and we are all witnesses, those who have seen about your baptism. That is why the baptism is not in secret. It should be in the public. Along with the heavenly host, on this earth, there are witnesses for your confession on that day. You confess before the church and to the heavenly host that you buried your sin and you rose from the dead, believing that the same power which raised, as you remember, the resurrection of our Lord, the same power which raised Jesus Christ from the tomb, He raised you. Amen. Then only you can say, "I am alive." Those who are not gone through that experience, I don't think that you can climb that. I'm sorry to say that. That is an opportunity for all of us to bury it for our sins, to raise with Christ, confessing that I am raised with Christ. God has raised you. Amen? So that is the power. Power of to break, that is the resurrection breaks the power of sin. Sixthly, resurrection makes believers the only favored people on the earth. Verse 19, it's a very beautiful word, and I read it for you. If in this life only, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. The NLT says, if our hope is in Christ is only for this life and more to be pitied than anyone in the world. You know the meaning of it? Yes, we say that in the beginning we are chosen people and we are accepted Christ and we are His children. We are died to sin and we live with Christ. But all these things, or you put it together, why we are Christians? Why we accepted Christ? Is it to take membership in the church? We are baptized and we become a Christian. This is a believer church. Is it because our parents are Christians? We wanted to be a Christian. So people may have a different reasons. If anything of that reason to be of this world alone, whether it is for your education, for your material blessings, or any other, or even to a member of the church, or to serve the Lord, to do the ministry and all the other things, if any one of them to be only of this world, we are pitiable. That is what Scripture says. And the very clearly says, if our hope is only for this life on this earth, we are pitiable. Our hope is always to be with the Lord. Our life is not a permanent life here. It is a temporary life. With this temporary life, God expects us, we are blessed to do much for the Lord. And all these things should be added and helps us to reach heaven. All our efforts, whatever you take it, whether you take it as a physical, material, spiritual, ministerial, family, and the church, or a missions, whatever it is, all these things are not only for this world alone. All these things, what you are doing, should lead to and make you to heaven. If that is the Bible says that it, we are favored people in that way. Let me close it. See, if we are spending all our times and sometimes in the happiness here, because of the resurrection, we have hope, we have a kingdom, and we are going to live forever. So as a conclusion, because of the time, we will conclude that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Amen. Resurrection is real. Amen. And there is hope for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what gives us the courage to live and die for Jesus Christ. How is your commitment to the Lord in this morning? So there are some things, or the history says that. I'm not going to tell the history. But as a conclusion, today there is salvation. There is hope. There is healing. There is peace. There is joy. Because He lives. If you want to be, take this message to your life. Stand firm with us. We have to pray. Please stand to your feet.
I want to congratulate every one of us for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Christ is risen, is no longer in the grave. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us appreciate God for this opportunity. Let us give thanks unto the Lord, for Jesus died for me and He died for you. Jehovah, we say thank you. We appreciate you for the Lord that you sacrificed yourself for me on the cross of Calvary. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God. Father, we pray that your death will not be in vain over our lives in the name of Jesus. As we are enjoying you on earth, O Lord, we will partake with you in heaven in the name of Jesus. Nothing will take our life away from you. We shall forever be yours in the name of Jesus. As many of all that the enemy is dragging behind, Father, O Lord, because we have taken your blood and we have eaten your flesh, we are strengthened to resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship and we bless your name. Thank you, King of glory. Father, let your spirit continue with us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.